Good morning, priests and priestesses. We have been going through the book of Mark. We're diving deep into the book of Mark to hear the story of Jesus, and Jesus has been rocking our socks. Or I hope he's rocking your socks. He's been rocking my socks off. And that even if we are familiar with these biblical stories, I hope that we read them once again with fresh eyes because God has something to say to us, that we would marvel again and again, week after week, at the person of Jesus who clearly is more than a man, that he is God in the flesh who has power over demons, can heal any disease, and is drawing crowds from all over the region. And of course, this means he is opposed. And we've looked at the last few weeks, we've seen different oppositions to Jesus. Whether that's even his family last week or the religious leaders of the day. And we've seen this opposition culminate in the end of last week when we saw that the religious leaders claimed that the power of Jesus was actually the power of Satan, which of course Jesus completely repudiates. But the one thing we haven't seen much of in our study of Mark so much is Jesus' teaching. That we've heard Jesus dialoguing with those who oppose him. We've seen him perform miracles and draw in crowds, and we know that he's teaching, but we haven't actually heard anything that Jesus taught. The only thing we've heard is Mark 1:15, Jesus' mission statement, when he says, "The kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe the good news." That's because Mark is an action guy. He likes the stories. He wants to tell us the stories of Jesus, and that takes up the majority of his gospel. But Mark does record some of Jesus' teachings, and that's what we're going to start today, and we'll see that the next couple weeks. A section on some of the teachings of Jesus. What did Jesus teach? And we've been impressed with all of Jesus' miracles. We've been impressed with the way Jesus responds to those who oppose him. And now it's time to be impressed with his teaching. Jesus said in Mark 1:38 that he came to preach. This is why he came to the earth. And today it's about time to look at what he said. Because it's all about the kingdom of God. And today we're going to look at a parable. That parables were Jesus' favorite way of teaching. He loved teaching in parables. He usually taught in parables. And in some respects, the parable that we're going to study today is the key to understanding all of Jesus' parables. I don't know if I can say that this parable is more important than any other parable, but Jesus will literally say today that understanding this parable is the key and the guide to understanding all parables. That this parable is actually the key to understanding all of Jesus' teachings. It is that important. And like all parables, the point of a parable is to tell a story and to get a response from those who hear it. That we catch the points of reference in the parable, and it should move us to action. So let's take a look today. The very first parable Mark records for us that Jesus taught, the very first teaching, really, that Mark is going to give us of Jesus. And we're going to see today that the response of our heart is what is most important. A fruitful response to Jesus' message is what he desires. So if you have your Bibles, grab them and open up to Mark chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, I please ask, grab one in front of you or behind you. We want to read directly what God has written to us and hear what he says. So Mark chapter 4, and we're starting verse 1. Page 1560 if you're using the church Bible. Mark chapter 4. All right, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. Here is the word of the Lord to us. "Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, then in his teaching said, 'Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus, once again, we find him beside the lake of Lake Galilee in the northern part of Israel. And he is again teaching from a book. This time, though, we get to hear what he says. We get to hear what Jesus taught. And like I said, Jesus teaches in parables. It's his favorite way to teach. He was a master at telling parables because Jesus is a master storyteller. I really believe that the best way to teach anything is to teach through stories, and that seems to be what God likes to do best too, because Jesus is always teaching in parables. And a parable, it really is a story, but it's a striking way of calling forth a response from those who are listening to it. That parables are stories designed to capture our hearts, bring us up short in our actions, and then to respond to Jesus. And this parable right here, the parable of the four soils, does exactly this. A story designed to bring us up short in our own actions and call us to respond to Jesus. And at first read, it's such a simple story. It really is. Jesus is describing basic agricultural science. He's talking about how to farm. And in an agrarian culture that Jesus is speaking to, everybody knows how to farm. This story isn't shocking or it isn't something new. Like they know what happens when you plant seeds, and that the only way seeds grow and the only way they produce a crop is if you put them in good soil. And in no way what I say next is a modern retelling of the parable. I am not trying to retell the parable in modern day. But it's as if I told you that Walmart built a new store on the middle of nowhere on the Highway 15 on the way to Vegas. And it closed after a week because they had no customers. And then Walmart decided, let's build a store in a rural Midwestern town. And 6 months later, they close it down because they've got too much debt. And then Walmart opens up a store in downtown LA, and they have so many customers that they have to open up 10 more Walmarts in their surrounding suburbs because there's that many customers. And we would think, of course that makes sense. In the 21st century, that's how businesses work. You need a large customer base to run a mega store like a Walmart. And of course you can't open one up in the middle of nowhere. You need a big metropolitan area like LA. And in the same way, that would be the response of those listening to Jesus' parable. Like, Jesus, we're all farmers, or most of us are farmers. I know how farming works. They throw seed out there in every city, in every town across Israel. That's how we farm. But this is Jesus' teaching. And when you have a teacher, a preacher, one drawing in crowds like Jesus, the question would certainly come up. What does Jesus mean by this? Yeah, he's telling us how farming works, but there's got to be something more. Jesus can't just be talking about the normal agricultural science of farming. There must be more to this story. What is the point that Jesus is making? And he ended with verse 9. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." That's the point. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. What do we do with this little story? Let's keep going. Verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." The response of the 12 and the others with them is what is most important in this story. It is the key to understanding this parable, as well as any parable and any teaching of Jesus, because they wanted to know what the parable meant. They weren't content with just hearing Jesus preach. They wanted to know more, and their priority was to understand what Jesus was saying. And so when Jesus was done preaching, when it was done for the day, they came up to him, and they asked him, "What did you mean by the agricultural story that you told us?" And 2 weeks ago, I made the distinction between the crowd and the disciples. And that this continues in this story, that there is a distinction between the curious ones and the ones that are seekers. That the curious person hears what Jesus says, and it tickles their ear. They like what they're hearing. And it's such an obvious story that Jesus tells that it's got to mean something. But they're just curious. They just like the story, and they may wonder what it means, but they don't do anything with it. They don't pursue the answer. They don't ask Jesus what he meant. They're curious, and that's it. But on the other side is the seeker, the one who hears and responds, the one who isn't content with just hearing a nice story or a nice parable and wondering what it means, but pursues the answer to know what Jesus meant when he spoke in parables. And the group of those who are seekers in this story are more than the 12 disciples. And I love that. I love that it's more than just the 12 disciples. But in the large crowds that Jesus has gathered, they're coming to hear him teach and preach, that it's more than just the 12 that want to know. And that Mark records that the 12 and the others around them gathered around Jesus to ask him what the parable meant. And we know from the book of Luke, at one point, Jesus sent out about 70 people to go preach. And so I imagine this number is quite substantial, that there are genuine seekers in the crowds that Jesus is preaching to that want to know more, that seek him out to get the answer to what did Jesus mean when he spoke in parables. The condition of their hearts was one which responds to the words of Jesus. The followers Jesus wants are those who genuinely seek to learn more. The ones who are not content with just audibly hearing the message of Jesus, but want to seek out the answer so that they can change the way that they live. And in fact, this is why Jesus spoke in parables. It's exactly why, and that's what he tells us here, because Jesus truly is the best teacher. Parables force you to make a decision. They draw the line between those who are curious and those who are truly seekers. They distinguish between the crowd and they distinguish between the disciples. Parables allow Jesus to teach in such a way that it draws in those who actually want to know him, while at the same time separating those who actually aren't interested in them. And Jesus gives us a hard saying, a tough saying, in verse 11 and 12. He says, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that, for the purpose that they may be ever seeing but not perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." That's a hard teaching of Jesus. That Jesus teaches in parables so that, for the purpose of that, but putting a dividing line between the curious and the seeker. That you can't sit on the fence with Jesus' teaching. He doesn't let you. Parables force you off the fence. You are either going to seek out Jesus more, or it's going to be very clear that you aren't actually interested in responding to what Jesus says. Jesus wants seekers. He wants us to be speakers. Every single person that hears the message of Jesus in every time and century and location in the world, Jesus wants seekers, and parables are that dividing line. He wants us to respond to what he says, and that is actually the meaning of this parable. And so Jesus is actually going to explain the parable to those that seek him out to figure out what is Jesus calling us to. Verse 13. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seeds sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. That Jesus gives the explanation of the parable to those who seek him out to find the answer. But Jesus makes this fascinating comment in the beginning, at the right there in verse 13, when Jesus says, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?" If you don't understand this parable, you don't get any of them. Because the point of this parable is how we respond to Jesus' message. We have to have ears to hear. This is the key to understanding every parable, because you have to have the right condition of the heart to respond to any of Jesus' teachings, to any of his parables. And the only way you're going to respond to any parable, the only way you're going to respond or the only way you're going to understand any parable is if you have the right kind of heart, that fourth soil, the one that responds to the word of the Lord. If you have that heart posture, that genuine desire to seek out Jesus and respond, that's the kind of heart that allows you to understand all of Jesus' teachings. And so what is the interpretation of this parable? There are four different responses to Jesus' message. And the first type of response is represented by the seed that is thrown on the road. When Jesus' message is preached, wherever and whenever, it doesn't sink in at all. There is no desire to respond to Jesus' message, and Satan immediately snatches it away. That is a hard heart, a flat-out rejection of Jesus and his message. And the second response is represented by the seed thrown on the rocky soil, which would be like a thin layer of topsoil and then rocky underneath. And when Jesus' message is preached, this type of response is one that initially receives with joy. They actually do respond positively, but when tough circumstances come, Jesus mentions trouble and persecution because of his name, they quickly fall away. And then the third response is represented by seeds thrown among thorns, that when Jesus' message is preached, it too has an initial positive response, that there is a positive response, but the heart of the third type of soil is one that prioritizes their own circumstances and their own priorities. And they too eventually fall away. The only good response, there's only one good response, and that's that fourth soil, represented by seed thrown on good soil. Just like any plant, just like any crop, the only reason you sow seed is to produce fruit. And Jesus' message is received with joy by this type of soil, but it doesn't just stay there. It produces more fruit just like it. This is the meaning of the parable, and that's just Jesus telling us what the meaning is. No interpretation needed. Like, this is why I told this parable, and this is what it means. If you seek him out and desire to know, he will explain what he meant. And the intent of the sower in this parable is to produce a crop, but whether or not this is achieved is not dependent. It does not change on the sower's intention, but on the condition of the soil into which the seed is thrown. And we see this in the book of Mark, and I think this parable is placed in chapter 4 prominently because for the last three chapters, we have seen Jesus, to use the analogy of the parable, throwing seed, teaching and preaching and taking the message of Jesus, the word of God to the world, indiscriminately across the entire region of Galilee. And we've seen different responses in the ministry of Jesus to his message, that some flat out reject, that there are some who respond initially with joy and then fall away, and then there are some, the disciples being the prime example of those who hear the word, and we'll see in this book that they will produce, and we know from church history that they did produce a crop 30, 60, 100 times. That we see in Jesus' own ministry this parable as the key to understanding what he was doing, because the kind of heart that Jesus wants, the condition of the heart that Jesus wants, is one that is soft and willing to respond to what he says. And for us today, as we hear this parable in March of 2019, it is still directly applicable to us as well. Do you have ears to hear? Do you hear and not understand? Or do you hear, understand, perceive, and respond to the word of God? That is the question we have to ask ourselves. how we respond to the message of Jesus, how we respond to the Word of God, there's only four ways. Jesus says there's only four ways to respond to His words, that these four soils represent the possible conditions of our heart when we hear the message of Jesus. In my prayer today, and as I've been reading this passage and preparing this message, and last night and this morning, just praying that our hearts would be that fourth soil, that we would have the soft, responsive heart that hears the message of God and responds to it and perseveres to the end. We don't want to miss out on the kingdom of God. And so I want to end today by looking at the four obstacles that each of these soils represent, that there are obstacles that keep us from the message of Jesus, and we need to know what they are. And that first obstacle represented by that first seed is having a hard heart. That first and foremost, a hard heart can never respond to the message of Jesus. Just like that hard path that the seed falls on, we can have a hard, stubborn heart that isn't interested in the Word at all. That Satan will blind us to the Word, and if we don't even have the right type of heart, the right soil that receives the Word, Satan is just going to snatch it away. And I know a lot of people like to focus on Satan, but I would say that the real problem is the condition of the hard heart. Because a soft heart takes in the seed, but a hard heart rejects it flat. And so that's the first obstacle. We have to have soft hearts that respond to the message of Jesus. And the second obstacle that hinders our heart is the circumstances we find ourselves in. The second type of heart responds with joy, and I think that word is key, because the second type of soil, the second condition of the heart, is one that has an emotional response to Jesus. That they are filled with joy, that they emotionally respond to Jesus, but there's no root, there's no depth that keeps them seeking after Jesus. Because tough circumstances are going to come. We are going to face trouble and persecution. 1 Peter 4 says we shouldn't be surprised at the fiery ordeals that come upon us. And 2 Timothy 3 says all, every single one of us who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. We have to commit our hearts no matter what external circumstances come our way, because they're coming. And so the second obstacle is the heart that maybe has an emotional response but doesn't have roots and isn't willing and ready to face tough circumstances in life. And that leads straight into the third seed, because the second seed is dealing with external things that come at us, but the third seed is internal. A wrong ordering of our own priorities, that your worries will hinder the message of God, that your love of money and wealth will hinder the message of God, that your desires and priorities will pull you away from God unless you submit everything to the Lord. Now, worry is a normal part of life. Money in and of itself is not evil, and other desires aren't wrong. But when we put our love and our desires over and above God, that is going to make us unfruitful and will result in this third type of heart condition that eventually falls away from the Lord. And so we have to give our worry to the Lord, that we trust that He works all things for good, And that ultimate good is that we'll be transformed in the image of Jesus, not that we get the American dream. That we have to hold money loosely and be ready and willing to use it and lose it for Jesus. That we have to continually check our hearts to make sure that our desire for Jesus far outweighs any other desire on this planet. Because if we don't, then the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things will pull us away from Jesus. And lastly, the good seed, what's that fourth obstacle, is that we have to bear fruit. That there is only one successful and positive response to Jesus' message. It can't stay with us. It must produce a change in our own lives and the way that we relate to those around us. That the good, positive, receptive heart, the only heart that God desires, the only soil that God is interested in, is one that hears the word and produces a crop 30, 60, even 100 times. That this is what God calls us to this morning. Every time we hear the word of the Lord, every time that we hear the message of Jesus, this is the type of heart that we need. And so the point of the parable is that last line of Jesus. Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And I stand up here this morning unable to make you hear and respond. I can't do that for you. That is something that only the individual himself or herself can do, that they can desire and commit to being the good type of soil, that there's only the soft, responsive heart that can hear, understand, and respond. Not just to this parable, but to the entire Word of God. That this parable really is the key to understanding every message of Jesus. Because the question is always asked every time we hear the Word of the Lord, will we respond with a soft, persevering heart? I cry out this morning, the same message of Jesus today, that you would be good soil. Look inward at the condition of your heart. How do you respond to Jesus when you hear his word? Let's pray. Jesus, I humbly come before you this morning, and Lord, just cry the cry of my heart as we would have good soil. Lord, that the analogy of seed planted in good soil that produces would be the same condition of our hearts, that we would respond to your word, that we would let it change us, that it would produce results in us, that it would create a deeper desire for you, and that it would be evident to everyone around us. And so, Lord, I pray for every single person in this room today that you would, Lord, that you would break our stiff necks, Lord, that you would soften our hearts to hear your word and respond to it. And it's in your great name we pray. Amen.